It's a trap.
Hello and welcome to episode number 94 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. Today we get the pleasure of talking about the best looking of all the new Wave 12 and 13 X-Wing ships, the TIE Silencer.
Yes, of course, Waves 12 and 13 of X-Wing are just about upon us, releasing shortly after this episode posts. And today we're going to be focusing in on the TIE Silencer, talking about the new pilots and upgrade cards that have been spoiled. This ship looks super cool, kind of a blend between a TIE Interceptor and a TIE Advance, but rocking that new First Order styling, and it's got some really cool stuff coming along with it.
Yeah, I think they've saved the best for last with these spoilers, so let's get to it.
So we got pretty much all the remaining details we need to know about this ship. Before we dive too far into those, let's do a quick recap for what the TIE Silencer is bringing to X-Wing.
Right, so this is a pretty heavy point cost ship that's got the kind of chassis of a heavy fighter, but the dial and action bar of a nimble interceptor.
But like you said, all this coming in at a pretty hefty point cost. The TIE Silencer has 3 attack dice and 3 agility dice, 4 hull and 2 shields, and its action bar consists of the focus, target lock, barrel roll, and boost actions.
And it also has both the system and tech slot. And the pilots we've seen so far all have the elite pilot talent slot, but we haven't really seen the lower end of the pilot section.
And one of the most remarkable things we saw coming out of the spoiler article from Fantasy Flight was the ship's dial, which is one of the best dials we've seen in the game of X-Wing.
Yeah, it's got the classic Imperial 1 hard turns at white, and that's it for its 1 speed maneuvers. And then it's got the full suite of green 2 maneuvers. So 2 straight, 2 banks, 2 turns, all green, which is indicative of all of the best push the limit ships. It's having a full row of green maneuvers. And then it's got quite a bit of 3 speed maneuvers. It's got 3 straights and 3 banks are green, as well as its 3 turns are white. And then it's got 3 red talon rolls. And for the rest of the dial, you've got a 4 straight that's green, a 5 straight that's green, and a 4 K-turn that is red.
10 greens in total for the TIE Silencer's dial. This ship seems very much like it is in line with those push-the-limit style ace ships there, having a full suite of 10 different green maneuvers.
Yeah, this is a lot like an A-wing dial, which I've personally viewed as like the best dial in the game. Asterisks on the Jumpmaster dial, of course. But this is an improvement from an A-Wing dial. It's got 3 banks green, and it's got speed 3 talon rolls.
Yeah, the versatility of this dial is just incredible. I think having access to both the 3 speed talon rolls and a 4 speed K-turn gives it so much good repositioning. It makes it a lot more unpredictable. Unlike ships like the A-Wing, which didn't benefit from access to things like S-loops and talon rolls, since the A-Wing came out, we've seen these new maneuvers come out, and this ship has access to those, of course, giving it a very versatile dial.
Yeah, I mean, obviously having the green 2-turn is great for a push-the-limit ship. But having access to both the 1-turn and the 3-turn is also great just to have in your wheelhouse to really threaten a full different range of positions when you do need to make that 90-degree turn, which is pretty often in the game of X-Wing.
So enough about the dial. It seems really good, but let's talk a little bit more about the cards that were spoiled in this recent article. To start off, we had another pilot card spoiled, the Pilot Skill 7 Test Pilot Blackout, coming in at 31 points. This pilot has access to the elite pilot talent, and it has an ability that reads, when attacking, if the attack is obstructed, the defender rolls 2 fewer defense dice to a minimum of 0.
Yeah, and while I'm not thrilled about Blackout's pilot ability, I think just being a Pilot Skill 7 Silencer might be good enough. We've seen 7 kind of be the lowest for threshold of decent repositioners, notably like Dash Rendar, Nora Wexley. Those ships have both been successful at being able to reposition in the competitive game, even while at a kind of mid lane pilot skill. And so this is a ship, the Silencer, with that great maneuver dial, the boost and barrel roll action that does want to leverage repositioning.
Well, and at 31 points for this ship, you're already getting a pretty strong chassis there with a great action bar, a great upgrade bar, and a very strong stat line. This pilot feels like Trickshot in pilot card form. Trickshot, of course, being the elite pilot talent. When you perform an attack that's obstructed, you can roll an additional attack die. And I guess it would combine pretty well with the Trickshot elite pilot talent.
Right. And of course, Trickshot being a 0 point elite pilot talent's great. These things are already on the high end of points you want to spend. And so any of those other upgrades are going to add up pretty quickly. And so I can see Blackout as being kind of your more budget option for a silencer. I think once you start putting a lot more upgrades on Blackout, you're probably better off just switching over to Kylo Ren. But if you go lean, maybe just a fire control system, auto thrusters, and Trickshot, that could be pretty solid for just 35 points.
Well, and we're still waiting on knowing what the point cost is for the two generic pilots coming in this expansion at pilot skill 4 and pilot skill 6, but I would expect them to be somewhere in the high 20-point range.
Yeah, I doubt they get to 25 points on the bottom end, just because 4 of these would, be way too good.
I think, though, maybe the biggest drawback to test pilot Blackout is that he is not Kylo Ren.
Right, which is funny because I think the best thing you can say about Kylo Ren is he has pilot skill 9. This is a repositioning ship, and you want as high a pilot skill as you can get with those type of ships. And being at pilot skill 9 means you can use that elite pilot talent slot for cards like Push the Limit or Intensity, great repositioning elite pilot talents, and be at the higher end of the pilot skill where you can leverage that repositioning advantage the most.
Kylo Ren is the pilot skill 9 TIE silencer coming in at 35 points. With an elite pilot talent, and his pilot ability reads, the first time you are hit by an attack each round, assign the I'll show you the dark side condition card to the attacker.
Right, so this is like the other version of Kylo Ren pilot we have. And we've seen how powerful that I'll show you the dark side condition is. Obviously, you don't want to be triggering that ability on Kylo Ren. You really don't want your silencer to be hit, but it is a nice deterrent where perhaps you might convince your opponent not to shoot at your silencer for fear of retribution of a blinded pilot or pilot skill 0 damage cockpit. It also means if you're on the opposite end of a pilot skill 10 or pilot skill 11 against your pilot skill 9 Kylo Ren, that you can fix that problem if they happen to target Kylo Ren. So it's a pretty versatile pilot ability.
Yeah, the I'll show you the dark side condition card is a pretty strong condition, being able to choose those pilot crits and then deal them out when you deal a critical damage. And it's probably not the part I'm most impressed with about the Kylo Ren pilot in the TIE silencer, but it's a nice defensive deterrent there for if you do happen to face off against ships at a higher pilot skill.
Right, and at the top end of your pilot skill there for the TIE silencer option, it is nice to come with a defensive ability. This ship is a lot of points. And so you really want some insurance in that point investment. So anything to deter your opponent from firing at you or give you the option to turn off your opponent's guns later, reduce their pilot skill is helpful. It's all part of the equation that's going to make this 40-some point ship worth it.
But like you said, Carson, his biggest value right now is in his pilot skill 9 for how good this chassis is. And it's also got a really strong upgrade bar. We've got some of the best upgrade slots on here, even though there's not that many upgrade slots. The system slot has become one of the most powerful slots in the game of X-Wing, and you've got some really great options here.
Right. The only upgrade slot in comparable power with all of these that's missing is the crew slot, but otherwise it's got the next best three. I mean, the elite pilot talent slot is amazing. You got things like Push the Limit, Veteran Instincts, and a lot of other options. Then with that system slot, you got, you know, fire control system or advanced sensors, historically some of the best upgrades in the game. And we've seen with these, you know, new movie ships, just how powerful that tech upgrade slot can be. And because this ship also has the boost action native, it can equip auto thrusters in its modification slot, which really gives this ship quite a nice edge.
Well, and I think the thing that really most impresses me about this ship is just the numerous ways you could load it out effectively. In a lot of ways, it reminds me of Quick Draw in the TIE SF, where you've got a really strong native chassis with a strong pilot ability, but you can still tweak out the loadout to fit in different kinds of lists. The way we're looking at it right now, the two builds we're most interested in kind of follow two different paths depending on what system slot you choose to put on your Kylo Ren.
Right. When I first see the system slot, I think, let's put some fire control system in there, which is great. obviously that passive action economy is just so good. Really hard for your opponent to interact with. But with that push the limit, dial, high pilot skill, advanced sensors is a really intriguing choice as well.
So let's look, if we go down the advanced sensors route, let's talk about some of the great functionality you can get out of that. Advanced sensors, of course, allows you to immediately before you reveal your maneuver, you may perform one free action. If you use this ability, you must skip your perform action step during this round. This ability, of course, combines very well with the push the limit upgrade card, where after you perform an action, you can perform another action listed on your action bar at the cost of a stress token. Now, this is great on its own, just being able to get two actions, but because you're performing the actions before you perform your maneuver, you can then perform one of the many green maneuvers on the TIE silencer dial to clear that stress immediately.
Right, so now you're getting the action economy of a push the limit ship with the option to then, in the future, set your dial to whatever maneuver you want. And say you pushed, cleared the stress with a green maneuver. Next turn, you can take one of those three great red maneuvers, flip around behind your opponent, and before you execute the maneuver, you can use advanced sensors to pick up a focus or target lock.
And a great addition on top of a Kylo Ren with push the limit and advanced sensors is the tech upgrade Prime Thrusters, which also comes in this expansion. Prime Thrusters is a 1-point tech upgrade, small ship only. Stress tokens do not prevent you from performing boost and barrel roll actions unless you have three or more stress tokens.
Right, and so one of the big drawbacks of both advanced sensor ships and push the limit ships is once they get stressed, their shenanigan abilities kind of turn off. Prime Thrusters allows you to maintain some level of shenanigans even while stressed. So say you weren't able to clear your stress after you push the limit with advanced sensors. That following turn, your opponent might think you're unable to activate advanced sensors because you have a stress token. But you still have that option to take one repositioning action with the advanced sensors and then take a green maneuver and clear your stress. Or take two repositioning actions. You'll end up double stressed, but you can clear one with a green maneuver. So that's just quite a range of versatility.
Yeah, and the core of having an advanced sensors push the limit ship at such a high pilot skill is that kind of unpredictability it brings. It's going to be really difficult for your opponent to determine exactly where you're going to end up. And thanks to having advanced sensors and access to that boost and barrel roll, you can even react actively to how your opponent's ships maneuver.
Right. The goal of this ship, especially with this version of build, is to give your opponent a headache trying to figure out exactly where you're going to end up. Even if they anticipate where you set your dial maneuver, you can reposition your ship to avoid a block or a bomb.
So the build of Kylo we're looking at right now specifically is Kylo Ren with Push the Limit, Advanced Sensors, Prime Thrusters, the First Order Vanguard title, and Auto Thrusters, coming in at a sizable 46 points.
All right, so really expensive. And I was thinking you could just kind of double down on that investment and throw another 29 points on Kylo in the form of an Omicron group pilot Lambda shuttle with the Emperor Palpatine crew to give you even more defense, make sure that TIE silencer stays alive. And that leaves you with 25 points that you could either get a TIE aggressor or a pure Sabacc with crackshot, lightweight frame, and the adaptive ailerons.
I think my favorite pairing right now with this 46-point Kylo Ren would be a 31-point Inquisitor with the TIE Advanced Prototype title, Push the Limit, and Auto Thrusters, and then throw in with your remaining points something like a Sinar Fleet Specialist TIE Aggressor with Twin Laser Turret or a pure Sabacc with Adaptive Ailerons and Veteran Instincts.
Yeah, and the difference between those lists there is Tim's version has another closing ship in the Inquisitor who's got great defensive capabilities and consistent damage output. So he has kind of insurance policy. If Kylo goes down, you still have another ship to close the game out with. Whereas my list with the Palp Shuttle is just really hoping you can keep Kylo Ren alive.
The other route we're looking at to build Kylo Ren is to, instead of doing advanced sensors, switch over to the ever-reliable fire control system.
Yeah, and what I like about fire control system here is it's going to open up some of your other options in upgrade cards, I think, more. You're getting some of that built-in action economy. So you could perhaps even give up push the limit, which sounds weird. Losing double repositioning, I mean, that's a very powerful option. But being able to go to pilot skill 11 with Kylo Ren, means you can reposition against all of those pilot skill 9 Kylos running around.
Well, and one thing you can do with a fire control system Kylo Ren is really get a lot of value out of the new threat tracker tech upgrade. Threat tracker is a 3-point tech upgrade, small ship only, that reads, when an enemy ship inside your firing arc at range 1 to 2 becomes the active ship during the combat phase, you may spend your target lock on that ship to perform a free boost or barrel roll action if that action is on your action bar.
Yeah, threat tracker is pretty sweet and gets better the higher your pilot skill is. It is kind of action neutral. You're not really gaining any action advantage. And for a 3-point upgrade, that's kind of a big ask. But if you have fire control system in, then you're not really losing any action advantage there and allows you to do some pretty interesting maneuvers.
Well, and threat tracker just makes Kylo really oppressive to ships at lower pilot skills, where you have opportunities to do things like take a very aggressive boost right in front of an enemy ship at a lower pilot skill, take your shot, and then when that ship becomes the active ship, you can use your threat tracker to get that barrel roll and try and dodge its arc.
Right. The big thing for threat tracker is you do still have to have arc on the ship, and that's why it's better on ships like Kylo Ren that have that high pilot skill. And I would personally, if I'm taking threat tracker, just double down and go veteran instincts. Just be the last one to move, take my shot, and then move again. Sounds great.
One build we're looking at for Kylo Ren, if you're going to go the fire control system threat tracker route, is Kylo Ren with veteran instincts, fire control system, threat tracker, the First Order Vanguard title, and auto thrusters, coming in at only 45 points. So you shave a point off there with this build.
Yeah, 45 point Kylo Ren's a real bargain. And that's kind of why in our list we've included ships like TIE Aggressors or TIE Strikers, these kind of cheaper Imperial options, is because it is kind of hard to fill out a list with a bunch of heavy aces. The TIE Silencer really uses up a lot of your extra list building resources, so you do have to cut and make compromises somewhere. And TIE Strikers have proven to be a pretty efficient budget ace for the Imperials. Or you can diversify your threat range, get a turret with the TIE Aggressor for a pretty reasonable cost as well.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of great options here with the TIE Silencer. Obviously, it seems like any build you have with Kylo Ren is probably going to be pretty expensive, but you got a lot of great tools there to protect your investment. There's no doubt in my mind that when this ship releases, it's going to have a strong impact on the game going forward.
Yeah, and it looks so cool. Everyone's going to want to put it on the table.
Hey guys, time for a quick Patreon update. We're still waiting for some pledges to process here, so we'll be announcing our raffle winners in next week's episode. But a huge thank you to everyone who's become a patron. If you want to be eligible for next month's raffle, please go on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show at any level.
And now, back to the cast. All right, so with the TIE Silencer, apart from the Kylo Ren pilot card, we also got some pretty sweet upgrade cards. We already mentioned Threat Tracker, but I think we just wanted to touch a bit on how it works with other ships apart from the Silencer.
Yeah, this upgrade card, Threat Tracker, is small ship only, so that does put some limitations on there. There's already so few ships that have the tech slot, and it also requires that the ship using it have access to either the boost or barrel roll action that it's going to perform on its action bar already. So looking at some of the popular ships there with the tech upgrade slot, we've got the TIE FO, the TIE SF, and the T-70. So let's start by looking at the TIE FO, the kind of cheapest of the First Order TIE fighters there. Doesn't seem like a strong choice here. I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of value coming out of this.
Right. I mean, for both the FO and the T-70, I think those ships just don't have the action economy to make use of the threat tracker. And you also want high pilot skill for your high end of your FO. Omega Leader really wants to hold on to that target lock and not spend it. And Poe Dameron is the top end of your T-70s. And he doesn't really want that target lock action. He wants the focus action. So they both don't really synergize well with the threat tracker.
Yeah, it seems like right now that comm relay is probably a better option still for your TIE FOs. And then on the T-70, at least with Poe, advanced optics is going to be a better option there to maintain that focus token.
Right, but in the TIE SF, I think there are some good uses of the threat tracker there. I mean, quick draw has pretty high pilot skill at 9 and has that action economy you can get with the fire control system. So you can get those target locks and utilize them with the threat tracker.
Well, and I think the TIE SF's tech slot is very flexible because I've flown it a lot of different ways and I've seen it flown a lot of different ways. I've been a fan of Pattern Analyzer there to open up the dial a little bit, but I've also seen people go the sensor cluster route to give them a little bit more defensibility. So I think Threat Tracker, especially on a Pilot Skill 9 Quick Draw or a Pilot Skill 7 Backdraft, maybe with Veteran Instincts and access to that fire control system where you can get those free target locks, could be a pretty reasonable choice.
So another reason the TIE SF is great with the Threat Tracker is Threat Tracker cares about having that ship in arc, and the TIE SF has two arcs, making it a little bit easier to trigger Threat Tracker.
Yeah, so I would not be surprised if we started to see some TIE SF, particularly quick drop builds there using the Threat Tracker tech upgrade. In this expansion, we also got a new Elite Pilot Talent upgrade card called Debris Gambit. This is a 2-point Elite Pilot Talent that is small ship only, and it reads, Action Header. Assign one evade token to your ship for each obstacle at range 1 to a maximum of 2 evade tokens.
Yeah, so I'm not a big fan of this card. I really like to get some sort of either pilot skill advantage or action efficiency out of my elite pilot talent slot, and this is doing neither of those. And at 2 points, there's just better options. I mean, so what this card does is give you access to evade tokens, which, you know, the TIE Silencer doesn't have the evade action, and there's a lot of ships that don't have the evade action, and so an elite pilot talent that grants you access to evade tokens is desirable, but I think intensity is just all around a better choice.
Yeah, intensity comes in at 2 points, and then of course after you perform a booster barrel roll action, you can assign your ship a focus or evade token, and then that card flips over. You can only flip it back if you spend a focus or evade token in order to flip it back.
Right, and so intensity also gives you that action economy where you're getting a reposition action and getting an evade token, whereas Debris Gambit is not doing that.
Yeah, Debris Gambit takes up your full action, so you're not getting a lot of value there, whereas for the same point cost with intensity, you actually get a lot more versatility where you're not only getting that reposition action, but you could also opt for a focus token instead if that's more desirable in your given situation.
Right, so that's enough of Debris Gambit. We've already seen First Order Vanguard spoiled, but this is just such an important card for the TIE Silencer that I think we need to touch on it again. It's a 2-point title, TIE Silencer only, that reads, when attacking, if the defender is the only ship in your firing arc at range 1 to 3, you may reroll one attack die. And then it also reads, when defending, you may discard this card to reroll all of your defense dice.
So Carson, when we talk about this card, you were saying that you think the second part of this text is more important than the first part of the card text here.
Right. I think you're basically paying 2 points for this reroll defense dice option once, and that's fine. The ability to reroll your defense dice on an ace is great. That was the whole reason Palpatine was so powerful was, you know, Soontir Fellow could dodge most of the game, but there was that one turn you rolled blanks and he was gone. And so Palpatine was your insurance policy against that happening. And so here, the First Order Vanguard kind of has that built-in once-per-game Palpatine effect, which 2 points is a lot cheaper than a 29-point Palpatine. So I think there, that's already a great value. This ship is really expensive. Most Kylo builds are going to come in the mid-40s. So you really want to protect that investment. And 2 more points means your ship gets to live. I think is very much worth it. And then, of course, it's got this added benefit of the first part of text, which will trigger sometimes.
Yeah, the real trick there is it's kind of easy for your opponent to avoid allowing you to trigger the attack reroll because they can just keep their ships together and make it really hard for your silencer to get only one ship in arc. I think the real value there is late game when your opponent only has one or two ships left that this card's going to become super valuable, giving you access to that one attack die reroll. The key will be, did you need to discard the First Order Vanguard title to reroll defense dice before you got to the late game?
Right. And on top of that, I would say, yeah, that's great if your First Order title is active in the late game. But I think just being able to have a TIE Silencer in the late game is a very powerful late game state. And so the First Order Vanguard keeping your ship alive so that it can still stay alive in the late game is definitely worth it.
And to close out our discussion of the upgrade cards here, we want to talk again about advanced optics, just a little bit in the context of the TIE Silencer. We already talked about this when we were talking about the Resistance Bomber, but advanced optics seems like a pretty strong option there, but it does have to compete with a couple other great tech slots on the TIE Silencer.
Right. I mean, we've mentioned that Prime Thrusters and Threat Tracker both seem like great choices. The reason advanced optics might be a good choice is just more action economy. I mean, being able to hold on to that focus token and then in that opening engagement, still have the option to take two of your other three remaining actions, boost, barrel roll, target lock, you know, reposition, and then still have a focus target lock shot on that first attack seems great. And I think where we didn't like it on the Resistance Bomber was it did have a limited action bar. And so the advantage of freeing up your other action choices wasn't as powerful. The TIE Silencer is a very versatile action bar. It's got the double repositioning actions in boost and barrel roll, as well as the focus and target lock. And you're going to be wanting to take that target lock action more because, I mean, three attack dice, and this ship can get up close and get those range one attacks, and you do want to make those count.
Yeah, so overall, actually, some really great upgrade cards coming in this expansion. You've got access to a couple copies of Advanced Optics, a couple copies of Auto Thrusters, along with cards like Threat Tracker and First Order Vanguard. Really adds to the value here for this $30 expansion.
So that's all we have revealed for the TIE Silencer. This ship is quite impressive. It's got an improved A-Wing dial with even more green options, plus more red options in the flip-around maneuvers. And it's got a great action bar, great stat line, and a really great upgrade bar in combining the elite pilot talent, system, and tech upgrade slots.
Yeah, and on top of that, you've got a great pilot card like Kylo Ren at pilot skill 9 with a lot of different ways you can load him out so he can fit into a bunch of different lists, albeit he's going to be pretty expensive even after just a couple upgrade cards.
Right, and even Blackout might still see play being at pilot skill 7 with the option to boost her up to pilot skill 9, and a kind of interesting, unique pilot ability. We still don't know what the generic pilots are going to look like, but I think already there's a lot of incentive to pick up the TIE Silencer expansion.
All right, and before we close out today's episode, we are on the eve of the release of both Waves 12 and 13, so we wanted to just talk a little bit about the overall values we see in these expansions, and if you're deciding on which expansions you should pick up, we could weigh in a little bit on where we think the real value is.
Right. I mean, this is kind of unprecedented, getting five ships all released in the same day. This is two waves combined together. And I think getting all these ships all at once means some players might need to prioritize which ships they pick up first.
On the Imperial front, we have two ships here, obviously the TIE Silencer, as well as the Alpha Class Starwing. The TIE Silencer does seem like a really strong value right now. Really great dial. Having access to that PS9 pilot and the system slot is great. And it's nice that it's an ace that doesn't immediately die to bombing, which bombing has become a really prevalent part of this game. And having those 6 hit points makes it a little bit more durable.
Right. I mean, this is a $30 expansion, but it does come with 2 copies of Auto Thrusters, which Imperial players desperately need more copies of. So if you think of it as a $15 kit, instead of paying the $20 for a Star Viper kit, you get those Auto Thrusters included. You also get Prime Thrusters, which is great with the Silencer, and 2 copies of Threat Tracker, 2 copies of Advanced Optics. So just picking up one of these expansions is going to give you a whole slew of upgrade options.
We're also pretty big fans of the Alpha Class Starwing here. This is a pretty good value, I think, for an expansion. I think this ship fills in a really cool niche for the Imperial faction, and it's one of the cheaper expansions right now, coming in at just $15.
Right. We've seen how powerful the slam action is with the K-Wing, and now the Imperials get their own version of a slamming, heavy damage-dealing ship. I like the different loadout options, whether you go the ordnance route or the cannon route. I think there's going to be a lot of fun to be had with either of those buildouts. And I like that there's going to be different ways to play the Alpha Class Starwing. I think both of these Imperial expansions are the ones I'm most excited about. I'm not really sure which one I'd rank higher. Kylo Ren looks like a ton of fun, but so do those slamming Starwings.
Looking at the Sheathapede class shuttle, aka the Phantom II, we've got a pretty good value here for the Rebel faction. Coming in just $15, this expansion gives you a lot of cool stuff. Not only is the ship an awesome support ship coming in at low point cost for your squad, you also get a lot of really cool upgrade cards.
Yeah, I mean, Flight Assist Astromech is going to go on those T-65s and perhaps make them usable again. Repositioning Wes and Wedge sounds like great fun. Courier Droid is also just an all-around good value for any faction, a generic zero-point crew. And you also get the Maul card, which is a pretty exciting crew upgrade card for both the Rebels and Scum faction. It means if I'm a Scum player and I have to decide on just one pack to get, I might prioritize the Phantom 2 over the Kimagila to get that Maul crew card.
Yeah, the Sheathipede is an expansion I am actually really excited for. I think it's going to do a lot to help Rebels now that we've seen ships like Biggs Darklighter get a substantial nerf in the form of the recent Errata FAQ.
Right, the Kimagila is now kind of where I'm a little bit more hesitant on. It's got some potential. The Bullseye Arc is definitely a very powerful ability, but they put it on a pretty clunky fighter. I mean, you can really open up its dial with Unhinged Astromech, but I'm still not sure if you'll be able to set up those sweet bullseye shots. It's kind of a maybe for me. I think Contraband Cybernetics is pretty exciting as an illicit slot.
Yeah, giving you the ability to kind of counter some stress control by taking on even more stress seems pretty cool. I am a little worried about the Kimagila. It seems like it's going to be maybe a little bit more difficult to fly very effectively to get all those pilot abilities and the bullseye firing arc to go off consistently. But if you're looking for something interesting and new to throw into your scum list, I think this would be something to consider. This is a $20 expansion, so it's a little bit on the more expensive end for small base ships.
Right, and in the right build, it could be effective. I think it's just not as versatile as some the other expansions we're getting. And then kind of on the lowest end of priority for me is the Resistance Bomber.
Yeah, this is a ship where if you're not that excited about using the Resistance Bomber itself, this pack doesn't seem like such a strong value.
Right, and this is a $40 expansion that kind of feels a bit more like a $30 expansion in kind of the quantity of cards you're getting with it. And a lot of those cards are limited to the Resistance Bomber, which is fine if that's what you want to fly. It's just not going to give you too many other list building options for the rest of your Rebel faction. It does give you the generic trajectory simulator, though. So if bombing's your thing, then this might be a ship you need to pick up.
But if you're not into bombing, or if you're only going to use it a little bit, you might want to consider just seeing if a friend who picked up the Resistance Bomber will be willing to sell you one of their three copies of Trajectory Simulator.
Right. I think for the Rebel players, that Sheathipede class shuttle is going to be a much better value. But I think overall, I'm pretty excited for Waves 12 and 13. A lot of cool options. And getting five ships at once, I mean, I have no idea what this is going to do to the meta. And so it'll be pretty exciting to track and see what does prove itself. It's going to be quite the shakeup.
Especially since we're going into a new regional season now.
Right, regionals and system opens. So there'll be a lot of competitive events to put this meta through the ringer.
Be sure to let us know on social media which of these ships you're most excited for and what squads you're building right now. You can tweet at us at Radio TCX Podcast on Twitter, or you can post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/RadioTCX. We'd love to hear what you guys are thinking about Waves 12 and 13.
Yeah, let me know what your gunboat builds are. Still trying to figure that one out.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please consider going on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and liking our Facebook page. It only takes a couple of seconds, but it really means a lot to us.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the show and why other people might be interested in listening. Those 5-star reviews are really important in helping us reach a wider audience and letting people know that other people like this show too. So if you can just take a couple moments to do that, we'd really, really appreciate it.
This week, we'll give a special shout out to Nuttree, who left us a review on iTunes, saying he really enjoyed all the editing work that went into the show. So thank you for that review, Nuttree. And thank you, Tim, for putting all the effort into editing the show.
It's my pleasure. And I swear I didn't write that review myself.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/RadioTCX and become a supporter of the show today.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Gunboat hype!